In the beginning, there was darkness. And over the years, have things really changed? History has taught us that we are a broken people, trying our best to innovate and create a light to fill this darkened world. Glimmers of hope in a world that seems hopeless. Shimmers of joy when death is always stirring. We look to eras of peace as a reference of serenity. We look to saints for inspiration when we know we need some strength. We seek out new innovations and then hail them as savior, yet in a few decades we look back and laugh. Our world has been full of war, hate, bitterness, anger, and death. From the beginning, Adam fell, Cain murdered, kingdoms became corrupt, it seemed we were doomed to repeat our sins. So the darkness took us to our graves. But one day, we saw on the horizon a ray of light stretching out over all the earth. And as it cut through the darkness, we found that we can be freed from blindness. We could see the hope around us. We breathed in the new life filling our lungs. We had to see what this light was. As we moved toward the light, we saw the origin. It was a man we knew, we all knew. It was a man we presumed to be dead. It was a man who now stood in front of us. It was the man we thought we put to death. But no longer did the grave hold him, and with his return, he brought the light. From this moment on, history would never be the same.
We'll be right back. Welcome to Living Water. We are so excited that you're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior this morning. And we gather this morning not to celebrate Easter eggs or Easter bunnies. We gather to celebrate a father who has raised his son from the dead. A son who is alive, he is no longer in the grave, and a spirit who fills us with new life. In fact, the same life that raised the son from the dead. We get that life. We get to celebrate that life today. We hope that in every moment of this morning's service that you experience the hope and joy of Jesus Christ. We want you to know that if you have younger ones, ages 3 and under, you can send them to our lower level for childcare if you need that this morning. Also, following this service, there is free donuts and coffee in the connection point. You'll see that to your left as you exit the worship center. Also, if you're new with us this morning, we hope that you feel welcome and accepted here at Living Water. Our vision is that we would be real people living relevant lives, relentlessly pursuing new life in Christ. And that says everything about our church. That's who we are. So we invite you to come and be a part of our services every Sunday, 8:15, 9:45, or 11:15, and see what God is doing through our church. Would you pray with me as we prepare to worship our risen Savior? Jesus, you are the victor. You have swallowed up death in your victory, and we thank you that, Lord, you swallow up the death and the sin in our own lives, the places where we've taken our lives to the grave. Our hearts have died. We have chosen death, but you have given us victory, and we can choose life. We can live in you, and that's what we celebrate this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Death is swallowed up in victory. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all the tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. And oh death, where is your victory? And oh death, where is your sting? Should I ransom them from hell? Should I redeem them from death? Oh death, bring on your terror. Oh grave, bring on your plague. For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our freedom and victory from sin and brokenness in this world can be found only in Jesus Christ. This is the reason we celebrate this day, and this is the reason we have joy that fills our hearts. That we have the exact same power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That we have a foundation, a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. And over the next few moments, we're going to continue to worship. But we'll also be taking our offering. And this is just another form of worship. And we want to let you know that if this is your first time with us this morning, don't feel obligated to give. We give out of the idea that we want to advance the kingdom of God. So would you pray with me? God, we praise you. We praise you with all our strength, with all our minds, with all our hearts, with everything, God. We praise you in this moment. God, I ask that your presence would be here around us. I ask that your presence would overwhelm us today. I ask that you would come and speak into our lives in new ways today, God. Jesus Christ, be praised. Jesus Christ, be praised. Jesus Christ, be praised today. Amen.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God. The maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance. Seen and unseen. What can and can't be touched. Thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold. It's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond. Creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job. An odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working. And used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart, it was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lusts. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It'll need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma. Choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God, and the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank. But you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection, we all cheered because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone, I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, literally, the good news. It's the story of God himself coming to this place and creating a way for all of humanity to be with him for eternity. It's the gospel. It's the good news. And on this day, we celebrate the exclamation point of the story, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the exclamation point. All of the Old Testament points toward. All of us look back to it because that's what provides life. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we celebrate this resurrection. And if this resurrection wasn't real and genuine, then at the very best, we would be a good organization trying to do some good things. But at our very worst, we'd be a very manipulative group of people, and I would be in charge of manipulating those into something that wasn't real. And I will tell you this, and I stake my life on this truth, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real and it's true, and it is the greatest day in history. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the New Testament, Romans chapter 6. Here's what he said. He said, since we've been united with him in his death, or Christ's death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Paul wrote, he planted so many churches, he started this faith moving forward. He's responsible, I believe, for why we're sitting here today. And he said this, since we've been united with him, meaning that we are following Christ, we're doing the same thing Christ did. He put his stuff aside and said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And he went to the cross. since we're united with him in his death, will also be raised to life as he was. That resurrection is for us today. We have victory over death. We have victory over sin. This world that we live in is still broken. There's broken pieces, but we have new life. In the book of Acts, Paul, again, he's speaking to King Agrippa. It's Acts 26. He's speaking to this king who's in charge over all the Jewish nation, all the land of Israel. And he tells him his account of following God and what it looks like. And as he's telling his story, he gets to the resurrection part. And people in the room stop him. They go, "You must be crazy." And he says, "No, it's true." And then the Apostle Paul looks at King Agrippa. He's in authority over everything. And he looks at King Agrippa and he says, "Do you believe?" He said, "Do you believe?" I was talking to a friend the other day. Great conversation. And she said, "You know, at the end of the day, aren't all religions really saying the same thing? And aren't they pointing to the same end? And don't we all get to the same place?" And I said, "Well, religion has some similarities across the board. That we want to do some good things. We want to not do the things that are wrong. You know, there's some commonalities. There's some peace we're looking for, but you know what? They're not all the same. Because what we celebrate this day is Jesus Christ, who is sent by the Father. He sent himself as Son, and he gave up his life on this cross, and he died in our place, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. This isn't the same as everything else. This is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, God himself, gave his life up for us on the cross. That's always the difference. If you're unclear about that, or if you have a conversation, here's the question: who is Jesus? And I tell you today that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Savior. He died in our place. And I ask you this: do you believe that? Do you believe? I could tell you stories. If you need some more, I could tell you the stories out of the Gospels, who Jesus was and what he did, and how he defended the poor, and how he hung out with those the religious people said that you shouldn't, and the miracles that he did, and story after story after story. He was the spiritual authority everywhere he went. I could tell you story after story. I could tell you about the resurrection. I could tell you all the pieces that he willingly gave himself up on the cross. That when he carried that cross on his shoulders to Calvary or to the place that he was crucified, he carried all the brokenness, sin, pain, and hurt, everything that was wrong in this world. He carried it. I could tell you about his pain and suffering, his floggings, his beatings. I could tell you that as he hung on the cross, the first thing he did, he prayed for those who were crucifying and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Or how he hung on the cross and one of the thieves or the rebels on one side said, "Remember me, Jesus, when you go into paradise." And he said, "Today you'll be in paradise." He rescued somebody while he was dying. Or I could tell you that for 3 hours it went completely dark, and before he hung his head and died, there was an earthquake. And when he died, the soldiers looked up and said, "Surely that was the Son of God." Or I could tell you how the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom the moment he died. It symbolized that there is no separation between God and men anymore. And how the religious leaders rolled a stone in front of the tomb because that was going to keep him there and people couldn't steal his body. And they put Roman guards there. Or I could tell you about the angels who came and removed that stone. And when the guards saw him, it says that the men shook like dead men. You know, the angels didn't remove the stone to let Jesus out. He was already gone. They removed the stone for us. And the angel said, "He's risen." You know, I could tell you about Jesus' life or the resurrection. Or I could have 100 different people come up here today and tell you their account, their testimony of how God has changed their life. In this room, there's at least 100 people. And if I did that, it could be the longest Easter service in the history of mankind, okay? But we're not going to do it. If you want to hear those stories, you can get online. Living Water FMC, YouTube, Facebook, you can see those stories. But you could have those stories told about how people have had their lives changed. Or I could talk and talk and I could tell you more and more. But here's the case. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest day in history. Do you believe? Do you believe? I want to take you to John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open there. There's Bibles under the seats. I want to look at this story. And this is a story of Mary Magdalene. And Mary was somebody who was with Jesus almost his entire ministry. In fact, she started serving, walking with him and following him after he rescued her. She was sick, very sick. And the Bible says that he cured her diseases. And so she began to follow him. Mary's with him throughout. And she was there when he was on trial. And she was there when he took the walk to Calvary, and she was there when he was crucified, and she was there and took the body to the grave. And now it's the first day of the week, Sunday morning, and she's coming. I'm sure she didn't sleep much Friday night. I'm sure she didn't sleep much Saturday night. She gets up very early. She comes to the tomb. John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And by the way, whenever you see that in the book of John, that's John. He didn't use his name. He was the one that Jesus loved. And they said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." What's Mary looking for? What's she expecting? She's looking for a dead rabbi. She's looking for a teacher, somebody who she believed in very much, but now was dead. He needed the proper burial. She wanted to get there and take care of those things. And so she goes looking for that, and what does she find? She finds an empty tomb, a stone rolled away. Mary fully believed the things that Jesus said, and she believed to the extent which she could understand. And now she's here, and she has no answers. Number one, she didn't expect him to die. And number two, when she went to find that dead body, she didn't expect it to be gone. And so here she is. She's lost without answers. And I feel like sometimes we're in the same place. We believe God. We know there's something more, but at the same token, we ask ourselves questions. Am I doing what I need to do? Am I making a difference? Am I the person that God's called me to be? Am I a good mom or dad? Mary went to the tomb with an expectation to find a dead leader. Mary, sometimes we carry expectations as well. And the expectations we carry are this, that, well, I knew what I know about God, I know what I know about Jesus, and I've prayed and I've asked things, and so we carry this expectation, God, if I do this and this, then surely you'll show up this way. And here's something that's very true. God doesn't always show up like we expect. God doesn't always answer our questions like we expect. He doesn't come through like we had hoped. See, God is like a lion. And you know what? You don't make a lion your pet. And you don't tame him. And you don't tell him what to do. You look to see where he is and you follow him. Our expectations sometimes, we put things on God. And as we do it, it creates those questions like I said earlier. Am I being the person I need to be? God, I thought this and this would happen. Mary shows up at the tomb with these expectations. She feels lost, and sometimes I believe that we do too. Mary's trying to put a puzzle together. She's trying to put this puzzle together. Here's A and B. What is happening? And what does it say that she does next? She goes to John and to Peter, the big two disciples. She runs to them and says, look what's happening. And oftentimes when we find ourselves in a place where we're not sure what is happening, where it's unknown to us, we ask people around us. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to go ask people. But oftentimes what you find are others who are looking for answers too. And if you come to me with an issue or something that's happened in your life, I will walk through it with you. People on staff, your friends, your small group, that's what small groups are about. But at the end of the day, we often don't have answers. And when we pull all of our answers together, there's a temptation that we come to. And this can be for believers or those who have not yet chosen to believe. And we can say, maybe this isn't all true. Do you ever think the disciples or Mary thought, what? Maybe Jesus isn't who he claimed to be. And so running to each other sometimes causes us to ask the question, is this really the greatest day in history? Is this really what it's cracked up to be? Let's keep going. John chapter 20, verse 10. We'll skip a few verses where Peter and John are involved. It's back to Mary. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over looking into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Ultimately, Mary ends up in her search alone, all by herself looking. At the end of the day, I ask the question, do you believe? Do you not only believe that the resurrection is the greatest day in history, but the resurrection is something that happened and transforms lives today? Do you believe? At the end of the day, you will be alone in deciding if that's true or not. And if you're in here with family, if you're a junior high or elementary school student, you understand what I'm saying. You're probably carrying your parents' faith right now, and there will come a moment in time where you will have to decide by yourself if the things that Jesus said are true and if you believe those things. Mary's looking for a teacher. Mary's looking for this rabbi, and she's not finding him. She was able to grasp some of the things that he said, but she didn't understand what was going on. And as I read this passage, it often makes me laugh because I look at it and say, Mary is looking. She happens to bend down and look in the tomb, right? And when she looks in the tomb, what does she see? Two angels. Mary's got a question. There are two angels. Maybe they would know the answer, right? What does she say? She doesn't even ask a question. She tells them, they've taken my Lord away. I don't know where. She doesn't bother to ask because she's so focused on what she can see in her perception. She's looking for the dead body of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, sometimes answers are right in front of us and we can't see them. And because we're looking for one thing, we don't see what's really there. Maybe you've seen this. It's a YouTube video that was out just 2 weeks ago, and now it has 31 million hits. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to tell you where it's at in a moment. I want you to watch it today, okay? Because I watched it, and it was one of those things that just, it changed my day. I started laughing. You know when you start laughing in your gut, and then tears start to kind of come down, and people who aren't really engaged with you look over and go, I know he's crazy now, you know? And I did it at home, not in the office, although this happens in the office sometimes. But I'm watching this YouTube video, and here it is. There is a 2009 Chevy Camaro SS on the lot, and a man comes up to drive it, and he is nerd man. Yeah, he walks up to the car, right? Well, there's a regular, ordinary sales guy, large and in charge, a big guy that's kind of coming out. They meet each other. They get in the car. Here's what this large in charge salesman doesn't know. See, his perception is, here's a nerdy guy who can buy a Chevy SS, and he'll be a stud muffin. Okay, this will change his life. I'm going to sell him this car. What he doesn't know, that Jeff Gordon is dressed up like the nerd. Jeff Gordon is a NASCAR. In fact, I like that guy. I know. Anyway, but I like that guy. He's carrying a Pepsi can with a hidden camera in it. He sets it in the cup holder so it's faced right at the salesman. And Jeff Gordon's like, oh, I'd like to try this car out. He goes, it's a lot of power. I'm not sure about this. And he goes forward and stops. And the salesman's like, hey, it's okay. We'll get into the power soon. Does it again, right? And the salesman says, he's in charge. He knows what's going on. About 10 seconds, it starts to roll, and then Jeff Gordon nails it. And he goes everywhere. It's incredible. They had to close the roads down. He's driving over this, that, and the other. And the salesman goes from large and in charge to, let me tell you, meek. And his face is like this. And there's a couple bleeped words. But you can still watch it with your kids. They're just bleeped right out. He's just saying, darn it, okay? And he is just fired up. And he starts to yell. Part of the time he's yelling. Part of the time he's screaming like a little girl. And he's holding on. I mean, it is, you got to see it. By the way, YouTube, Jeff Gordon Pepsi, all right, it'll come up. 31 million hits in 2 weeks. And he is in the car, and finally Jeff Gordon pulls in. He does one of those spins and backs it right in, and the guy gets out of the car. I am calling the cops, and he starts running to the dealership. And I think Jeff Gordon is really nervous. And he got out, threw his stuff off, and ran right to him and stopped him. He goes, wait, I'm Jeff Gordon. And the guy went, I want to take another ride. Okay? You've got to see it. It's so fun. So fun. I used to love Coke. Now I'll drink a Pepsi just because of that commercial. But not for too much. Okay. Diet Pepsi. Okay. His perception, the salesman was, here's what's happening. Jeff Gordon blew that perception. Mary is looking for a dead Savior, and she's not finding it. She has a perception of what she needs to do. She is in remorse. She needs to, she's mourning. She needs to go and bury this body. But Jesus shows up and says, woman, what are you looking for? And what does she say? Thinking he's the gardener. That's what she's thinking. Thinking he's the gardener. Mary's not understanding what millions of people today in this world don't understand. And that is that Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. Jesus wasn't just a man who was real in history and he did some good things. I mean, for goodness sakes, we know he's real. Our whole calendar is based around him, right? But he's more than a good man, a teacher. He's a Savior that rose from the dead. She didn't understand that he had to die, that he had to rise from the dead, and he had to come back and show himself. He had to be resurrected by the power of God so the Holy Spirit could be released. She didn't understand that, and millions of people today don't understand that. Jesus is not a good teacher. He's the Savior. Just like Mary, The answers are right in front of us, but we're not seeing. You know, if you're already a believer in Christ, you might say, well, great, I've already seen that. And if you're not, you're like, well, I'm not sure this is really clear. But I think it goes even further than just choosing Jesus' salvation. I believe that God, that the Holy Spirit is revealing stuff to us on a regular basis. And it's right in front of us, and we're not seeing what God has for us. This journey with God is more than a moment of salvation. That's just the beginning. Actually, that's not even the beginning. It's the middle, because he's pursuing you before you even choose that. But the answers are right there, and we're not seeing. Let's finish this story up, 16 through 18. Jesus said to her, remember, she thinks he's the gardener. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that these things had happened. What changes Mary? It's really obvious and evident in the story. What changes Mary? One word, the Savior saying her name, Mary. At that moment, the light bulb comes on. At that moment, she begins to see and understand. Can she explain everything? Absolutely not. She can't explain it, but she hears his voice, and it changes her. And you know what? You might say, well, Mark, how does this work today? How does God speak? All I know is you know it when you hear it. You know, a lot of people have cell phones. There's signals going all over the place. You know what? All I know is when my phone rings, I can call it, and Matt can be on the other end. If you ask me how it works, I'm like, I have no clue. But when Jesus Christ speaks our name, when he spoke Mary's name, it woke her up. And I'll tell you this, when you hear Jesus speak your name, it opens your eyes to the truth. A teacher can only teach so much. We can only learn so much through reading or thinking or watching others. We need Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe, to speak our name. And when Mary hears that, she goes. She goes to the disciples, and she tells them, here's what's happened. Many of you in this room have heard Jesus call your name. You've heard his voice. I want you to think back to that moment of salvation. Why did you choose to follow him? What was that thing that moved you to say, this is real and true, I'll put my faith in Christ? Whatever that was the voice of God calling you. That was the voice of salvation. That's how God wants to speak to you. And when you think today, how can God speak? Go back to that moment when you chose to follow him. What was that voice like? It's how God's speaking. It changes things. And if you're in that situation, then I want you to live your life in such a way that you're telling people about who he is. I want your actions to promote who he is. I want your words to talk about him. Have those conversations. Some of you haven't heard this voice, but you'd like to. In fact, some of you are like, you know, I want to believe, but there's not enough proof. There's not enough. All I know is this. When I'm finished up here in a moment, and as the worship team can come up this way, I'm going to say a prayer that would open up the opportunity for you to hear his voice, for him to speak your name. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest day in history. Do you believe? Do you believe it? And you might say, well, that was a pretty good message, Mark, and the music was pretty good, so I'll believe. No, 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 don't ever believe because of that. I'll believe because there's all these people in this room. No, believe because God is speaking to you. And you might say, I've never heard that. Mary was in the garden, hearing directly the voice of God, thinking it was the gardener. How many times has God spoken to you and you thought it was something different? All I know is this. Jesus Christ gave his life up for us. He gave his life up on the cross. He rose from the dead 3 days later. He sent his Spirit so he could each call us by name and call us home. Today may be your day of salvation to finally say yes to Christ. Or today may be your day to say, I want to make that solid again. Or it might simply be your day to say, I want to be open to God in every way, shape, and form. Will you pray with me right now? God, thank you for a tremendous privilege to worship together, to celebrate your resurrection, Jesus. And I'm praying right now, would you, Father, open up the channels to us, and would you speak our name through a song, through what happens this morning, through what happens later today or this week? Would you open up those channels? I pray in the name of Jesus that the enemy who wants to keep your voice silent, that he would be defeated, that Jesus Christ would speak to us. Mark, Matt, Jim, Sue, Deb, that Jesus Christ, that you'd call our name, that we would understand. We worship you, God.
I saw him, death with his mighty sting, exhaling in every plight the breath he brings. To the grave he gave victory, triumphing over life with the fear of endless sleep. Endlessly we hide from our mortality. Mortally wounded from birth, we lie to ourselves from infancy, infinitely investing time into a life that will inevitably be taken by this incredible creature that stands before me. Death. You see, we are all dying, and there is no other way. I see him in Haitian and Japanese earthquakes. He's hating the escapees of his cruel wakes. I see him in poverty, impoverishing the quality of life for regions that are reachable, and for those with the reach who find reason not to reach out to treat what is treatable. I see him in disease, taking life out of uninfected yet affected families. I see him in oppression, pressing down on the oppressed and the oppressor. I see him in depression and Prozac and pain pills and razor blades and bedside wills. I see him in abuse, physical, mental, and emotional misuse.
I see him in spiritual confusion, material intrusion, physical possessions. I see him in marital transgressions, childhood remorse from an ugly divorce. I see him in our slavery to appearances, appearing to care more about our images than those in dying villages. And I see him in our ignorance, ignoring truth for some comfortable inference. And I see his emergence in our churches as we pull out emergency verses as deterrents to religious differences, going on the defensive, making community worthless. Death is killing us before we even enter the surface of the earth. We are in service to his words. It is finished. The end of birth. We cannot hide from his wretched curse. For death in the grave we constantly rehearse. Even God himself was coerced. Divinity immersed himself into humanity, humbly taking on flesh and scorning vanity. The world saw his way of life as insanity, insisting he cease speaking of his radical Christianity. But man found him guilty, accusing God of blasphemy, performing the ultimate usurpation by slaying Christ on Calvary. Jesus embossed mankind with amnesty, championing over death with the beauty of his fatal injury. And I know, many still doubt, and rightfully so, bringing up this inquiry. What does that poor Jewish man dying on a Roman tree 2,000 years ago have to do with me? And I reply simply, Christ came to die and marry his bride-to-be. And though death could kill the groom, it could not kill the ring. God made us one with Christ, and life and matrimony's cling. Now the undying church, his ever-living wife, can sing, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? For we have risen above your misery. We will not succumb to your finality. We have overcome your infamous mystery in the infinite reign of Christ's ministry. For we are the resurrection. We are the resurrection, the insurrection of fatality. We are the risen deity, the intersection of a dead yet living body. We live through imperfections, for we died to become holy. We cannot be contained by the mouth of the grave, for we are the willing slaves to the one who rose from that garden cave. We have passed through death to the earth. We gave the grave to the earth, and we claim today the cross's worth. We are the body of his rising. We are the risen church.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. The glory of God.
through Jesus, death is defeated. In Jesus, there is hope and freedom from the brokenness we all live in. And all we have to do, and all we have to do, is say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Freedom, hope. For all you have to do is, Jesus is Lord. And so for some out there today, I know that God has been pushing on your heart today, saying, why are you running from me? Why are you hiding from me? I can give you hope. I can give you freedom. I can give you a new start today. A new start today. All that was does not matter. All that who I am does not matter, because today I can give you a new start. All you have to do is proclaim me. So I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation over us this morning. And if you resonate with any of that, pray this out. Pray it in your heart. God, we are broken. We are sinners. God, I am the greatest of them all. I need a new start today. I need a new hope. I need to stop going down the path that I keep going, and I need to look to something else. And so today, God, I accept you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. I accept you, Jesus Christ, as Lord over all, as King over everything. And Scripture tells us that Christ is constantly, always making all things new. And so if anyone prayed that prayer with me that right now, this is your new day. This is your new start. This is your new hope in this moment. And we want to rejoice with you in that. And so, can I ask of you one thing today before you leave? If you prayed that prayer, tell someone about that commitment. It can be me. You can come up to me after service, or go over to Mark in the next few minutes, or there's follow cards underneath your seats. Fill one of those out. Just let someone know, because we want to partner with you. We want to rejoice in the fact that you have started a new life, a new hope today. There is freedom in Christ. So we want to end off our service on a bang today. And if you're not standing, would you stand with me? Because this is just a song that requires standing and much pumping of the fist. And for many of us at Living Water, this is one of our favorite songs because it speaks to the truth of what we are all about. It says, we as the church are about this. So as we play this song, just rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Savior today.
hears the voice of God, and it changes everything. And my prayer is that you hear the voice of God, either here or anywhere this week. I've been praying that, because it changes you. May this be a moment in time where you affirm your faith, you recommit your faith, or you come to faith, because this is the greatest day in history. And what did Mary do with her faith? She went and told people. Live it, act it, speak it, have the conversations, because this is a life-giving truth of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest day in history. Have a fantastic day.